From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This particular book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 126 and verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Some Christians are sadly prone to look on the dark side of everything, and to dwell more upon what they have gone through than upon what God has done for them. Ask for their impression of the Christian life, and they will describe their continual conflicts, their deep afflictions, their sad adversities, and the sinfulness of their hearts, yet with scarcely any allusion to the mercy and help which God has vouchsafed them. But a Christian whose soul is in a healthy state will come forward joyously and say, I will speak not about myself, but to the honor of my God. He hath brought me up out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. The Lord hath done great things for me, whereof I am glad. Such an abstract of experience as this is the very best that any child of God can present. It is true that we endure trials, but it is just as true that we are delivered out of them. It is true that we have our corruptions, and mournfully do we know this, but it is quite as true that we have an all-sufficient Savior who overcomes these corruptions and delivers us from their dominion. In looking back, it would be wrong to deny that we have been in the slough of despond and have crept along the valley of humiliation. But it would be equally wicked to forget that we have been through them safely and profitably. We have not remained in them, thanks to our almighty helper and leader, who has brought us out into a wealthy place. The deeper our troubles, the louder our thanks to God, who has led us through all and preserved us until now. Our griefs cannot mar the melody of our praise. We reckon them to be the bass part of our life's song. He hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad.
Thank you.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life or death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see these elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8, made out to Let the Bible Speak. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email us to reserve a copy at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians, bringing the next portion of a two-part message entitled, Wonderful Redemption. The text, chapter 1, verse 14, says, In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption involves a recovery of something by a purchase. In this case, it is the souls of sinners whom Christ has redeemed by his sacrifice on the cross. The elements of redemption include freedom from sin's bondage, complete forgiveness of sin, the fullness of Christ, and the guarantee of a future with him in heaven. Dr. Cairns has emphasized that our salvation is a present possession. Then this redemption brings us into union with Christ. It is a federal union, uniting believers to Christ in the covenant of redemption. It is a vital or living union. Then it is a mystical union. For in God's sight, we are one with Christ. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
It is this oneness of Christ and his people, whereby he is the source of their spiritual life. He is the sustenance of their spiritual life. And they receive from him all, underline that, everything of his saving merit and his saving power. Now, this is the union that exists between a Christian and Christ. It's in Christ that we have redemption, because of the union we have with Christ's person. Now, union with Christ is a vast, vast subject. This is something you could do a long series of messages on, union with Christ. Theologians call it a federal union. The word federal comes from a Latin noun that simply means covenant or compact. So when we talk about a federal union, it's saying we are one with Christ in the bonds of an everlasting covenant. Now I put it like that, and you are taken right away beyond time into eternity. You're taken to the secret councils now made plain by divine revelation of God the Holy Trinity. When God the Father selected His Son and appointed His Son. I don't say selected Him to be His Son, mind you. Selected Him who is eternally His Son. And appointed Him to be the covenant head of a redeemed people. In that same compact of redemption, God the Father chose a people out of the fallen mass of Adam's progeny, and He gave them unto Christ, so that from thenceforth, in the dealings of God in redemption, there would virtually be one man, the man Christ Jesus, and all the others thought of as in Him. Virtually, therefore, in redemption, in salvation, God is dealing with one man. God only ever chose one man because of who He is and because of His own intrinsic merit. And that is the man, Christ Jesus. God only ever justified one man because of His own perfect personal obedience to the law of God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. God only ever accepted one man because He deserved such acceptance, and that's the man Christ Jesus. But we are in Christ, chosen in Christ, accepted in Christ, redeemed in Christ. This is the union. In that covenant of grace, Christ stood for all His people. In that covenant of grace, He took all their liability. He took all their guilt. He took all their condemnation. He took everything that would forever shut them away from God. And He dealt with it in His own body and put it all away by the virtue of His own atoning sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ and His people are one in the covenant of redemption. And in that covenant, thank God, He not only took our sin, but we receive His righteous deserts. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And that's why I emphasized in my definition this oneness whereby we are the recipients of all His saving merit and power. It's a federal union. It's a spiritual union. That is, it is effected by the Holy Spirit, and it is maintained by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, by His own ineffable work and power, puts us into Christ. Paul puts it like this, writing to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. By one Spirit ye have been baptized into one body. I realize that there's that class of people that every time they see the word baptism, they see a tank. Of course, there's another class, and every time they see the word baptism, they see a font. And they're both wrong as far as this text is concerned. Nothing to do with gallons of water or drops of water. There's no water in it at all. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Ghost regenerating a soul and uniting that soul with Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual work. It's not a sacramental work. Understand that. The sacraments have their place. That is baptism and the Lord's Supper. They have their place as signs and seals of a work that's done not by their power or virtue, but by the immediate, effectual working of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a spiritual union. John tells us in 1 John 4:13, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." It's also a vital union. The word vital, of course, you, I think, will immediately grasp, is used in its basic sense. That is, it pertains to life. The word vital comes from the Latin verb that the Latin noun that means life. In other words, this is a union of life. Mr. Braham referred in the opening prayer to John chapter 15. There you've got a glorious description of this vital union. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Now there's the union. The branch is in the vine. It's of the vine. It draws its sustenance and its life from the vine. Cut it off from the vine, and it's dead. In union with the vine, it's living. This is a vital union. I'm talking now about the realm of genuine experience as well as of theological truth. This is a life that will manifest itself. It's easy to say that, but I want you to get the full import of it. If you're saved and you're in union with Christ, there is life, and that life is manifested in spiritual fruit. We have become so used in fundamentalism to the notion that fruit is soul winning, and that's the only kind of fruit it is. And so you have people who are living as defeated a life as you can imagine, but they're running around to make sure they've given out so many tracts in a year to see, make sure they're soul winners. Now, don't misunderstand me. God blesses the giving out of tracts. Give out as many tracts as you can. I would be the last to scorn such efforts. But what I'm saying to you is this. When the Bible speaks of spiritual fruit, it never, never once even brings soul winning into the picture. That may come as a result, and God will use you in winning souls. Never lose the passion to win souls, to go and evangelize. Never lose that passion. But the fruit of the Spirit is given you in detail. What the fruit is, and what is it? Quite simply, it's the life of Christ manifesting itself to you in all its varied characteristics. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The life of Christ manifesting itself in and through you in all the variety of its characteristics. It's a vital union. It's a mystical union. That's a wonderful word, a mystical union. And here's the mystery in it. We are one with Christ. But contrary to what Lutheranism teaches, we are never going to be deified. It is a valid criticism of the Lutheran theology's doctrine of the person of Christ that the incarnation becomes more the deification of man than God, the Son, becoming human. If that's too sweeping a statement without any introduction or follow-up, you'll have to forgive me. I will refer you, as I used to do, 1982 in theology class, and my theology dictionary had not yet been delivered from the printer. Instead of us having the students write out reams and reams of definition, I used to say, see dictionary. Lisa Tice did me a beautiful little needlework painting which said, see dictionary. Sarcasm. I would tell you, see dictionary anyway, on the humanity of Christ. What I'm saying to you is, we are not deified. There is something, now it's not an equation, it's not an equation at all, but there is a similarity, a spiritual similarity. As God the Son took a true humanity, even a human body, into union with himself, and deity was not humanized, and humanity was not deified, and there is no confusion of natures, so in somewhat of a similar mystery, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken us as his spiritual body into a vital but mystical union with himself. We do not become confused with Christ. We become united to him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.